choosing us on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to you and yours. Vuka Clever coming up next.
We are setting fire to mediocrity.
There's no going back.
We are making Abu Clever really clever.
Rise FM.
Umalanga. Azishe.
Thank you very, very much for keeping it locked with us. It's all things Vuka Clever, and we are joined by Usimpli Basi, who is here to share her story of pain, but also how she escaped that pain, because you can stay in pain, but it's always up to you to decide whether you want to leave or stay, and she's here to share her story. Usimpli Basi, welcome to Rise FM.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello.
Thank you very much for coming and, you know, just being so willing to share your story. There's not a lot of people that want to share their stories. And so to know that you want to do that, to let other people know that it is possible to come out of that situation is a very, very big thing
to do.
Thank you very much. Let's go into the story. But first, let us know. Basi ke mang, basi o tswa kae?
Basiki, Mwanyana wa Freiburg, Regina Freiburg, Kumahaneng Village, Northwest. I'm currently based in Witbank, and I'm a mom to a cute, very cute little boy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We love that, love that. All right, Basi, so you meet your husband in South Africa, your ex-husband now, right?
Yes.
Tell us the
story. Well, technically not ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
We are still legally married in Croatia, but the marriage wasn't registered in South Africa, so yeah. But I met him in a club where I was working. I was working in this club as a waitress, and I was actually a newcomer there.
Mm-hmm.
And he started talking to me, and my friend advised me to give him my number, and I foolishly did. I gave him my number, and we hit it up right from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of months later, we decided to move together to Croatia.
All right. So you guys then decided to move together before you were married?
Yeah, before we were married. I think we got married 3 months after I moved to Croatia. Yes.
What was it about him? I mean, to up and leave and to go to a different country is something really big. I mean, just moving to a different province is something really big, but to move to a different country is major. What was it about him, or what was it about what he said that really convinced you
know,
to move?
Yeah, I know this interview is going to be, it has to be like short, but so I'm just going to like summarize the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a very, very difficult childhood. My mom passed away when I was 7 years old, and my childhood wasn't easy at all, and I felt like I didn't have family.
Mm.
My dad and I reunited when I was around 18 years old. So growing up, I had this urge, this like I was yearning to have a family of my own, my own children, my own husband.
Yeah.
And I wanted that no matter what. So when the opportunity arose, and I could tell that this man could give me what I want. He could give me a family that I always wanted. I grabbed that opportunity. I ignored the red flags because I just wanted to fulfill that childhood dream that I had.
Yeah.
So that's why, that's what motivated me to move to Croatia.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you get to Croatia, you get married. What then happens?
You know, before I even left, I saw red flags, and his friend told me about his gambling addiction.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, because I wanted so bad to be a wife, and I wanted so bad to be a mom, to have that family that I always saw other kids having growing up, I ignored every red flag because I wanted to just get to that point in my life. So when we got there, he immediately changed on me, even before we got married.
Sure.
He started, like, physically abusing me instantly when I got there. And he would, like, go for weeks in casinos, not caring if I had food or anything. And obviously his family defended everything he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got married anyway, and I got pregnant.
Sure.
Yes. So the red flags, when we left, the red flags were still there. Even when I was there, before we got married, they were there. I just ignored them because in my head I thought, you know, it's going to change and I'm going to have that I'm going to fulfill my childhood dream.
Mm. Sure. Yeah. So you get married, you have a child. Did you have a child before you got married? Did you fall pregnant, rather, before you got married?
No. We got married first, and then about like 2 months later, I found out that I was pregnant.
Which is
how I planned it when I was a little girl. I just thought, you know what, I want to get married, and then I want to have babies, of course. And I want to have a white picket fence. That's all I could think of going.
And so, I mean, you're going through all of this. Is there anybody that you are talking to back home and saying, you know, this is what I'm going through? Because I think there's different stages to it. Sometimes you kind of tell yourself that he will change, he will get better, or maybe he's going through something.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you're still getting to know him. You guys have only been together for a couple of months.
Absolutely. No, I was only talking to my best friend, who was also married to a Croatian guy, but they were living in Germany. And she could tell you how all of this started, because we knew each other, even from South Africa. We were staying in the same complex, and she moved with him to Germany. So I was telling her. I didn't tell my family because I was ashamed. I was really ashamed of talking about this to my family.
And, I mean, now that you do speak about family, did any of them kind of warn you to say, you just met this guy? How do you up and leave and go to a different country with somebody that you barely know?
They couldn't warn me because I didn't tell them how we met, how long we had been together. I was living in Northwest, and my dad was in Joburg. And the communication between me and him was not very good at the time. But eventually, I had to tell my dad, because then my child was taken after he was born. My child was taken by the CPS after I told them that this man is continuing to hit me. We have no food, we have no money for rent, and he goes to casino. I need your help. And what they did was, instead of coming and removing me and my child from that situation, they took my child for 9 months. So in that time, because I was extremely depressed and suicidal, and I felt so alone in a foreign country, and I had to fight for my child, I felt like I couldn't do it alone. It was time for me now to tell one, like, family members, and I told my dad.
Okay, so they take your child for about 9 months.
9 months, yes.
That is a long time.
And even during that time, I kept begging them that this man is hitting me. He's continuing to hit me. Please remove me. I beg you to remove me. And they said, well, every time I complained about that, they would send me to psychiatric hospitals.
Okay, sure.
Every time I would cry, and I would cry and break down and tell them that I don't want to be left alone with this man. He hits me. To them, that maybe was equals me being crazy, because they would send me to psychiatric hospital. And looking back, at the time, I thought they were helping me. But looking back now, I'm asking myself, how is me asking for help being crazy? How does that warrant me being sent to psychiatric hospital? That's what happened.
I mean, do you think that perhaps, I don't know, it might be a bit far-fetched, but do you think that perhaps he might have had any connection with those people to say, she's insane, she doesn't really know what she's talking about? Because what warrants them to say, you should be taken to a psychiatric hospital because you are saying my husband is being abusive towards me?
You know, let me tell you something. Even when I was pregnant, this man used to beat me with his sister. They used to beat me together. And instead of those people helping me, I would call ambulance. Instead of taking me to gynecologist or a place where pregnant women should be taken, they would send me to a psychiatric hospital. Then even after I gave birth to my son, because during the time I was giving birth, he was in casino.
Yeah.
After I gave birth to my son, the first people that held my son was people from CPS. Before me. When I woke up, they were there right next to me. And I asked them who are they, and they introduced themselves. And again, the little 21-year-old Bussy thought these people are here to help me. But when I look back, I just realized how much of a danger I was in.
I mean, so you tell your father about this, right? What does your father say?
He was really encouraging me to come back home.
Yeah.
He did encourage me to come back home. And eventually I did come back home with my son. But then again, he called me and told me that he would change. And he stopped going to casino. He was going to like rehab. And because I was so scared of raising my child alone, I went back to him. I thought he was going to change, like he said.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of women that do that. There's a lot of women, Bussy. It's not just you that do that, where a man will tell you, I'm going to change, I'm going to do better. And because you don't want to raise your child alone, like you said, you go back.
And I was so scared of how am I going to do it? So many questions. And I went back actually 2 times to him. And then eventually my heart then told me that, no, you had to leave. Because as I kept going back home and going back to him, I still had doubts. But eventually my heart got to a place where it said, girl, no. You have to leave.
Yeah.
That's it. You have to leave.
Yeah. I do think your dad is on the line. Sorry, Bussy, to interject there. And Tate Dehomo, are you on the line? No, I don't think so. All right. So we're going to try to get him on the line. But in the meantime, I think we can continue with our conversation, Bussy. So you then do leave, finally.
Yes.
Do you leave him while you are in Croatia? Or, you know, I mean, look for another place? Or do you decide, I'm coming back home?
No, so I decided to, actually at first, because the apartment that we were living in, I liked it. And when we were just in that apartment that we were living in, I had already told him that, let's stay together, but I don't want you, we are separated.
Yeah.
So he agreed, but it was not easy, but leaving a separated couple, because he wanted things his way. And eventually I told him that this is too much for me, the arrangement is clearly not working. Can you please pay half, and then I will pay half for this apartment and still take Christian to school and buy him food and everything. You just leave and help me with half of the bill.
Yeah.
He refused.
Sure.
And he refused that he couldn't even pay the apartment himself, because the all money was into casino. And then eventually I told him that, like, okay, let me just pay everything on my own. Leave this apartment to me. He still refused. And then I decided to look for my own apartment so that me and my son could stay somewhere.
Yeah.
And then after we left, he also moved out. And I was so confused. I mean, you couldn't stay there. Why didn't you just let us stay there?
Yeah.
But, yes. And then we moved to this apartment, which where I was attacked. And when I moved in there, I was so happy. I was so proud of myself, because that's what I had wanted to do since my son was born. But I just didn't have the financial means to do it. So this time I had saved enough money for me and my son to live alone. I had found good school for him, and I thought it was a fresh start for me and my son.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I just didn't know. I didn't know I was moving from one monster to the other.
Sure. So take us through then that moment where you move, and then you are thinking, this is the beginning of a brand new life for me and my child, which then also ends up to be another disaster.
Yep. So I started moving in there, and definitely it seemed a little weird, but I overlooked it. And we stayed there. The apartment was brand new, so it was faulty, like especially in the toilet. Things were just leaking from time to time. He helped fix the toilet and shower twice, and then he then stopped fixing it. Then he wanted me to pay him in cash. I asked him why. He didn't want to tell me. And I ended up giving him the cash that he wanted. I paid him as he wanted, and then I eventually told him again, the shower is giving me problems. he just lost patience and he told me that, you know what, I'm canceling our contract. You have 30 days to leave my house.
Sure.
The following week after that conversation, I told him that, listen, I know you canceled my contract, but can you please, for now, because we are bathing in the basin and that's not hygienic, and please, can you come and fix the toilet, the shower? And he said, give me 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
Yeah.
And the water that you saw, I don't know if you saw the water on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That water actually came from me bathing. I had just finished bathing. So that's why there was so much water on the floor. So mm-hmm. I sent him the video of, like, look how bad your shower is after I took a bath. And when he came, he started throwing my stuff out. That was the first attack. He threw my stuff out with his fan. I took a video of what was happening. Because he was aggressive too. He was doing that aggressively. He was like trying to push me, and his other son was pushing my son out. Christian obviously is so easy to push out, so he just instantly went out crying. And we were then now like fighting, and because I had nowhere to go,
mm-hmm.
and it was so hard. I didn't have money for another apartment instantly. So the police came, they defended him, but eventually they convinced him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the embassy the following day, and I told them that, listen, I do not feel safe in that country. Please help me and my son go back home.
Yeah.
The reason why I asked them to help me was, well, the reason why I went to the embassy, because in 2021, when I came here, Christian overstayed his visa because his dad didn't want to help me do his citizen, like dual citizenship. They wanted his signatures and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't want to do that. And because I didn't want to go back to Croatia, we ended up overstaying. So that's why I went to the embassy for them to lift the ban. The lady just gave me some papers and just chucked me out. And then I went back to Croatia. That was in Budapest. Yes, that was in Budapest. I went back to Croatia. Even after I told them that I'm not safe, my son and I are not safe.
Yeah.
They just said, there's nothing we can do. Just take these papers and hope for the best that your son's visa lift will be lifted. Ah, okay. And then I went back. When I came there, we got the shock of our life, and it was an 8-hour trip. My son was so thirsty. He wanted to pee. When we got there, we were locked out. I opened the window of my room a little bit, and I saw that everything was taken. And my son was like crying, Mama, Mama, I want to pee.
Mm.
And I had to force open the window so that Christian could come in and pee.
Sure. You know, Basi, we are running out of time, so I just quickly want us to close it, because it is quite a story. You then do come back home, and you are met by your father.
Yes, that was after the final attack.
Yeah.
Then they officially, the embassy saw that, okay, now this is serious, and millions of people are seeing this. So we have to do something. Mr. Clayson Munyela actually really, really helped me a lot.
Yeah.
He pushed them to help me. So I come home, my father is waiting there for me, and my little sister is with him. Oh, man, I was still, like, living in that life, an out-of-body experience. But when I saw them, especially when I saw my little sister.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I really...
I couldn't believe, because a lot of people were telling me, Basi, just come home.
Yeah.
You will come and get Christian later. And I was like, no, I can't leave Christian with people like this. I mean, if they can do this to me in front of him, imagine what they will do to him.
Yeah.
I can't leave people with Christian, my son, with this kind of people. I will fight until I get out of here with him. Even if I got out of here with no hand or no limb, I will get out of here with my son. And when my dad and my sister were there waiting for me and Christian, it was so surreal. Feel emotional,
you know. Yeah, no. Just to close it off, I really wish we could speak to your father, but we are unfortunately out of time, so we're going to have to close it here. But I just want to say thank you very much for fighting for yourself and for fighting for your son. You know, you went through something really horrible at a very young age. It's something that nobody should ever go through, but you fought for yourself. And I think at the end of the day, that really should be the a message for everybody, because I think we are all going to go through something. It might not be similar to your story, but we're all going to go through something. And we need to learn to fight for ourselves. And you did that. You escaped. And that is the most important thing. So thank you very much for coming on to the show, sharing your story. I wish we had all the time in the world, but radio is radio, and that's the beauty of it. But people can get your story on social media platforms. On your TikTok, it's at Simply Basi. So thank you very much for coming onto the show, and I wish you all the very best.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Godang Molezane, Monday to Friday, 9 to 12 midday, Roz FM Mid Mornings, Mpumalanga. Azish.